All right. Welcome to Hoboken Grace. My name is Chris. For those of you who may be with us for the first time, as John kind of alluded to earlier, today is our first day with two services, and we're really, really excited about that. We've never, ever done this before, so we have no idea what to expect, and in light of that, we decided, you know, since this was our first time, we would have a baptism and a lot of other things just to kind of throw in, just to make it a little bit more interesting. So today is packed, and we're going to be talking through a lot of different things, and as we go into our conversation, what I want to do today is I want to wrap up a conversation that we've been having for the last 4 weeks called Healthy. And for the past 4 weeks, we've been talking about this dream that God gave us in Psalm chapter 1. This dream that our lives could look like this tree that's planted beside this riverbank. This dream that our lives could be secure and solid and confident. And throughout the past couple of weeks, what we've been doing is we've been looking at this dream, and then we've been looking at tools that God's given us that we could begin to put in place to see this dream become a reality. And a key to understanding this dream is to understand that in Psalm chapter 1, this tree, it's not that this tree doesn't go through seasons. This tree goes through all of the seasons. But yet, in the midst of all these seasons, this tree remains consistent, it remains solid, it remains secure. And so as we've been having this conversation, this wasn't about how, as we walk through this next year, as we walk through 2011, how we could avoid any circumstances that would be painful, any circumstances that would take us off of our path. That's not what we're talking about. What we've been talking about is how we could live our lives in such a way this next year that no matter what circumstances come our way, we could remain secure and we could remain solid. We could continue, as the psalm says, to produce fruit, and our tree or our leaves would never wither. Last night, this whole idea was challenged for me as I had a conversation with my father, and my father's a pastor about 15 to 20 minutes from here. And throughout this entire conversation, I've been telling you over and over again that this year can be the best year of your life. And looking at what God's told us is possible in Psalm 1, I've been telling you over and over again that this year, no matter what happens in your year, no matter what comes into your life, that this year can be the best year of your life because what God wants to do in your life doesn't have to do with the circumstances. It has to do with something that changes inwardly. And last night I was having a conversation with my dad, and my dad loves to read stories of pastors throughout history. And he was telling me the story of one in particular, this pastor who lived in Russia just as communism was beginning to take over. And the story was told of how this pastor was thrown into prison because of what he did. And at that point, it was against the law. As a matter of fact, it was punishable by death if you assisted a prisoner's family. And so as this pastor sat in jail because of the fact that he wouldn't renounce his God, his daughters turned to prostitution in order to be able to eat. And his son ended up in a mental hospital. And as I heard that story, I thought to myself, whoa, if that happens to me this year, God, I don't know if this could be the best year of my life. And I thought, maybe I've been lying to people. Maybe that's not true. And I thought about what my year would be like if something were to happen and I was to be thrown into prison and Caden was to lose his mind, and Anna was to die because she couldn't eat. And I said, I don't know, God. But as I began to work through the question, as I began to have a conversation with God about that last night, God said to me, and he brought me back to that passage in Psalms, he said, even if that happens, you can remain solid. And even in the midst of that, you can continue to thrive. And then he said, you're not there yet. And I agreed 100%. He said, but it is possible. And that's the heart of what we've been talking about for the last couple weeks. You see, you have no idea what's going to happen in your year this year. You have no idea what circumstances you're going to walk into. And obviously the story that I shared is probably the worst of any possible circumstances we could encounter. But you don't know. You don't know if your relationship is going to blossom or if you're going to break up. You don't know if you're going to have kids this year or if you're not. You don't know if your marriage is going to get better or worse. But what God's telling you and what God's speaking into our lives is that no matter what happens, no matter if the economy goes up or goes down, He can do something inside of you that will allow you to thrive in every one of those circumstances. And so as we've walked into this year, we've decided to make it a priority to begin walking towards that with our God. Because we don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what's next, and there's no way we can control it. But what we can control, and what we can experience, is stepping into a relationship with God where He begins to fill us, and He begins to sustain us like that river that we see beside that tree. So that no matter what circumstances come our way, we're full. And not only are we able to thrive, but we're able to bring life to those around us. As we wrap up this conversation, I actually want to take us back to a passage that we talked about in week one. We just kind of referenced it as we talked through our conversation about Psalm chapter 1, but it's a place where Paul kind of grabs onto this idea that we could become solid, that we could become secure, that we could become confident. And so what I want to do is I want to take us back to that passage, and I want to give you a couple of points that he shares with us in this passage that I think will not only allow you to be able to begin putting into practice the tools that we've talked about, but I hope will begin to develop a pattern in your life that will allow you to begin to take these tools and other tools and be able to consistently use them throughout this next year and throughout the rest of your life to begin experiencing God more and more and more. So that you can continue taking steps towards this dream that he's told us can become a reality. It starts in Ephesians chapter 4, the passage that we're going to look at today. And I want to start off at the beginning of the chapter because I want you to understand the context in which Paul says this. It starts like this. It says, "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." Paul actually finds himself in a situation where he's in circumstances that are outside of his control. He is in prison. He's experiencing a lot of the negatives that we can only imagine. And so as he's writing to these people, he's writing to them from a position where, you know what, the circumstances, it's not a great season for him right now. It's a dark season for him. But he's going to talk to them about this idea of being solid. And as he talks to them, as he addresses them, he makes it very clear that this conversation he's about to engage them in isn't a conversation about heaven or hell. And I want you to grab a hold of that, because what we're about to talk through and what we've been talking through for the last couple weeks, it's really easy to wrap that up in a conversation about where you stand before God. And it's really easy because over the last couple weeks we've talked about reading through our Bible on a consistent basis and taking that in day after day after day. We've talked about taking time off and resting, this idea of a Sabbath. We've talked about solitude and getting alone and learning to hear God's voice, learning to hear your own voice. And one of my greatest fears as we talk through this is that you guys will begin to believe that these conversations that we've been having are about where you stand before God. And you'll begin to buy into this idea that you need to make sure that you're perfect on check one, check two, and check three in order for you to know God, in order for you to be able to be his son or his daughter, in order for God to be happy with you. But that's not what this conversation is about. As Paul starts this off, he says, I want to talk to you who have been called. I want to talk to you who have already stepped into this relationship with Christ. You see, as you read through God's word, you discover that the relationship that you have with God, the idea of whether God is for you or the idea that you could be adopted as God's son or daughter, it doesn't have anything to do with whether or not you're reading your Bible every day. It doesn't have anything to do with whether or not you can check off everything on your checklist. It doesn't have anything to do with rules. It has to do with faith. It has to do with trust. It has to do with whether you're going to trust yourself to be able to keep all the rules or whether you're going to trust what Jesus Christ did on that cross. And so as Paul begins this conversation, he says, I want to talk to you who have already stepped into this relationship with Christ. I want to talk to you, those of you who have already placed your faith in Jesus Christ. And so I want to get that out in the open because I don't want any of you to believe that as we talk through what we're about to talk through, that this has to do with how you earn your way to God or how you... That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about what happens in our lives after we step into a relationship with God. And so this is how he begins. As he continues, he says, always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all and in all, and living through all. Again, he's talking to these people and he's saying, listen, you've been brought into this incredible hope. You've been brought into this incredible relationship with God. You've been brought into this incredible family. He goes to great lengths to make sure that they understand that this isn't about how you earn anything, that he's talking to those who've already experienced the fact that they're adopted as his sons and daughters. As he continues through this passage, he begins to talk through how each and every one of us has a specific gift. I'll tell you what, today's a beautiful, beautiful day for me. I'll be honest, I had to sit down this morning and just cry for about half an hour because I didn't want to cry while I was up here. And I knew that as we walked through today, it was going to be very, very difficult for me. Because today is the result of a lot of work of people who have decided that their gifts and their talents were not just for themselves, but that they were to be used as a part of this family and this church to love and to serve more and more and more people. I got together with those who are serving today in a circle out front before this day started. And I talked to them and I reminded them of the years we've spent praying that God would give us the opportunity to love and serve more people. And how today is this incredible answer to that prayer. And throughout, as Paul goes through this passage, he talks about the fact that each and every one of us has been given this gift to fit into this body and to serve and to love with others. But that's not really where I want us to focus today. I want us to continue because as he talks about how we fit together and how we serve together and how God's given us all these special gifts and abilities, he continues, and it's the passage that he wraps that up with that we talked about on week one. He says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. He said, and this is the progression. Listen to the progression of how he's sharing this with them because it's really, really important. He says, I want to talk to those of you who've been brought into God's family, who've experienced this relationship with God based upon faith and who've decided to trust him instead of trusting yourselves. I want to talk to you about this incredible hope that you have. And in light of this incredible hope that you have, I want to lay out this path for you. And this path is going to lead you to the point where you will be solid. And for me, this carries an incredible amount of weight because he's writing this from prison. I mean, if there's anyone who is in a situation where he would be tempted to waver, where he would be tempted to walk away, it has to be Paul. And yet he finds himself in this situation and he says, listen, in light of this position in which you find yourself before God, I want to show you the way to become solid, to become secure, to become confident, where you'll no longer waver to the left or to the right. And then he begins to lay out the plan for us of how we begin to do that. He says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. He begins to lay out kind of two different paths and what those paths look like. But that isn't what you've learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have heard the truth that comes from him, throw off your sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Paul says, listen, and as you look at what the Bible's teaching us, we begin to see that, okay, listen, you've been adopted as sons and daughters of God. There's something that's happened inside of you. And what I'm about to talk to you, it doesn't have to do with that. It has to do with the paths that you're going to choose as you move forward from here. He says, and so as you move forward, there are a couple things I want you to understand. And these are the things that I want you to grab a hold of today. These are the things that I believe Paul wants you to be able to grab hold of as you read through this passage. And the first of these is that the process is not yet complete. And it's interesting because it really doesn't matter where you are on your journey today. It doesn't matter if you just walked in here for the first time. It doesn't matter if you just stepped into this relationship with Christ. It doesn't matter if you've been in this journey and if you've been adopted as his son or his daughter for years and years and years. That is not, nowhere in the passage does it say, I want to address those of you who are new to the faith. It doesn't say that. And so we see that as he's addressing these people, he's talking to them about this consistent process. And he says, okay, listen, there's something that's changed inside of you. You've been given a new heart. But this process is an ongoing process, and what needs to happen in your life is something that's going to be going forever. And as you go year after year after year, there's something that needs to be happening consistently in your life. And the way that he says it, as he gets to the end of that passage, is he says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Other translations, as they talk about this, they refer to it as taking off the old man and putting on the new. Paul talks about it almost as if you're taking off a coat and putting on another coat. One of my friends, he used to talk about becoming a follower of Jesus Christ like going into the witness protection program, which doesn't really strike a chord anywhere else in the country, but in New Jersey, we're pretty familiar with this. It's happened to a lot of those who've come before us. But he talked about becoming a follower of Jesus Christ as entering into the witness protection program, and he talked about the fact that when you go into the witness protection program, you have to become someone entirely new. And the illustration kind of breaks down in the fact that when you step into this relationship with Jesus Christ, God says that when you place your faith in what Jesus Christ did on that cross, instead of trusting yourself, that he actually creates in you a new heart, that you actually become a new person. And so it's a little bit different in that respect, but the way that it's very similar is that when you enter into this witness protection program, they relocate you, they take you to another place And you have to learn to become someone entirely new. But the problem is you have the same tendencies, you have the same habits, you want to call the same people that you always wanted, that you always have. But you have to begin this process of putting off who you were and putting on who you now are. And what Paul is saying to us is he's saying, listen, this doesn't have anything to do with where you stand before God. Let me get that out of the way right now. I'm talking to those of you who have stepped into this relationship with Christ. He says, now that you've stepped into this relationship, there's a process that needs to begin happening in your life on a consistent basis. It's a process of putting off and putting on. And throughout your life, there's going to be this constant process where you identify, okay, what are the things in my life that I need to get rid of? And what are the things that in my life that I need to begin building into? And it's interesting because we see, number one, that it's a constant process. There's one thing I want you to grab a hold of with this. And really, if you walk out with nothing more on these three points, I really want you to walk out with this. It's crucial for you to understand that as God walks through this, at no point does he give you a deadline. You give yourself deadlines often. But at no point does he give you a deadline. We do this with our relationship with God all the time where we'll say, okay, I've got to begin to eliminate this from my life and I've got to begin to build this into my life, and we'll give ourselves deadlines. So we'll be like, all right, I have to be successful at this within the next 2 months, or I have to be successful at this within the next 6 months. And we begin to kind of give that deadline to God like God's giving that to us. And so we walk through that and we're successful or we're unsuccessful, and we feel great about it or we feel like a failure because we look at it and we say, oh man, I didn't make it. But God doesn't give you deadlines. God doesn't walk into your life and say, you know what, you've got to get these tools in place and you've got about 3 months and then I'm going to give up on you. A lot of times we think God works like that, but that's not how he works. And we see this constant process that's going to be a part of our lives. The next is that it's a call to action. He's calling you to be proactive about what happens in your life spiritually. He's calling you to look at your life and to look at the relationship that you have with God, to look at the path that you're on, and to consistently identify, okay, what are the things that I need to get rid of, and what are the things that I need to bring into my experience? A lot of times as we walk through life, and it really doesn't matter whether we're talking about our lives physically, spiritually, emotionally, doesn't matter what side of our lives we're talking about, we walk through our life and we're just kind of like, well, if it works out, it works out. But Paul, as he's talking to us, he's calling us to begin developing a plan. And sometimes when I talk to people about developing a plan of how they're going to begin growing spiritually, they have no idea, they have no context in which to put that. And they struggle with that. But as you look at this passage, you see that Paul is calling us to be purposeful about our growth. Paul is calling us to be purposeful about what's happening in our lives. Today, as you walked in, you got a program. Inside that program, there's a sheet in there. And on that sheet, there's all sorts of different tools that you can use to experience God more and more and more. And what I want to do today is I want to give you that sheet, because what I want you to do as you walk out of here today, and maybe you'll do it while you're here today, or maybe you'll do it tonight when you get home, is I want you to begin to look at your life and say, okay, God, what do I need to begin building into my experience with you? And as I said earlier, this whole process is a process of putting on and putting off. And one of the things that you may have noticed is that as we've begun this conversation throughout this year, I haven't really called you to put off very many things. As a matter of fact, as we've walked through this, I haven't really asked you to stop doing anything. I did that on purpose. Well, that's not true. I did ask you to stop working. But that's an easy one. I haven't asked you to put off anything, because there's something that I believe about this process, and that is this. If you don't begin to build, and if you don't begin to use these tools in your life to experience God more and more and more, you're not going to be successful with the things that you want to put off. And I don't think I really need to talk to you that much about the things that you need to put off. I think a lot of you know exactly what you need to take out of your life. I think a lot of you know exactly what you want to conquer this next year, what you want to experience victory with throughout this next year. But I think a lot of us have been unable to experience that victory because of the fact that we're not putting on. And so as we wrap up this conversation, what I want to do is I want to challenge you to look at the tools that God's given you. And I want you to look at them as tools. And to say, okay, what are the tools I can use to begin experiencing God more? Okay, God, how can I use these tools that you've given me to begin taking another step towards experiencing this life where I'm consistent, where I'm solid, where I'm secure in you, because of you? And like I said, one of my greatest fears is that as we walk through this, the things that we're talking about in the conversation that we're having will move away from tools that help you experience God, to rules that you need to follow in order to appease God. And so I want to read to you, as we kind of bring this to a close, a passage or a section from a book called The Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. He's talking about this idea of tools and rules. He says, if we are to progress in the spiritual walk so that the disciplines are a blessing and not a curse, we must come to the place in our lives where we can lay down the everlasting burden of always needing to manage others. This drive, more than any single thing, will lead us to turn the spiritual disciplines into laws. Once we have made a law, we have an externalism, by which we judge who is measuring up and who is not. Without laws, the disciplines are primarily an internal work, and it is impossible to control an internal work. When we genuinely believe that inner transformation is God's work and not ours, we can put to rest our passion to set others straight. We must beware of how quickly we can latch onto this word or that word and turn it into a law. The moment we do so, we qualify for Jesus' stern pronouncement against the Pharisees. They bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with their finger. In these matters, we need the words of the Apostle Paul embedded into our minds. We deal not in the letter, but in the spirit. The letter of the law leads to the death of the soul. The Spirit of God alone can give life to the soul. As we enter the inner world of the spiritual disciplines, there will always be the danger of turning them into the laws. But we are not left to our own human devices. Jesus Christ has promised to be our ever-present teacher and guide. His voice is not hard to hear. His direction is not hard to understand. If we are beginning to calcify what should remain alive and growing, he will tell us. We can trust his teaching. If we are wandering off towards some wrong idea or unprofitable practice, he will guide us back. If we are willing to listen to his heavenly monitor, we will receive the instruction we need. Our world is hungry for genuinely changed people. Leo Tolstoy observes, everybody thinks of changing humanity and nobody thinks of changing himself. Let us be among those who believe that the inner transformation of our lives is a goal worthy of our best effort. As we begin this year, I want to say to you again, that no matter what happens throughout the next couple months, this year can be the best year of your life. Because if you allow Him, and if you begin to use these tools in your life, your experience of God will increase. And He'll fill you and He'll sustain you in ways you never thought possible. And as I said last week, all of a sudden, you'll begin walking through circumstances that a year ago or 2 years ago would have destroyed you. But this year, you'll walk through them and you'll thrive. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray that as we walk through this morning, as we wrap up this conversation, I pray that we would be able to see these tools for exactly what they are. Tools. That we would look at these disciplines and we would realize that our standing before You is solid and secure, but yet You've given us these tools to begin increasing our experience, increasing the life which You've given us. Father, I pray that we would begin to experience that on a consistent basis. In Jesus' name, amen.